Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 16. We'll be reading verses 19 through 31. It is a story that Jesus told. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Dear Father, as we continue in the spirit of this service tonight, we ask for the help that only you can give. We ask that you would come now and place us where we really are in the balances. If we are found wanting, may we make that response that will bring us into the center of the will of God. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. Tonight, the theme of my message is simply this: something between. One night many years ago on the south side of Chicago, I was with my family and we were headed for a restaurant for dinner. But as we approached the restaurant, we noticed in the distance a thick column of black smoke spiraling its way skyward. We thought it had somewhat of an unusual look about it, but of course, black smoke in the skies of Chicago was not necessarily an unusual thing. We went in and ordered our dinner, and as we did, reports started coming in that there had been a terrible accident. A gasoline truck had collided with one of those old Chicago streetcars, and over 40 people had been killed. I'll never forget those newspaper pictures that showed in such horrid detail the hands of those victims trying to reach through those barred windows for relief. But there was no relief to be found. The witnesses said they will never forget the screams of those who were dying. The fire was so intense, the firemen said they could not help. They did their best. But there was too much heat between those who would be saviors and those who were dying. The rich man in this story that Jesus told reached for help, but no one came. Why so? Because the Word of God tells us there was something between. There was a chasm there, an uncrossable chasm, and they could not render any help to that one who was suffering in the torments of hell. On that streetcar, that summer night in Chicago, those who died in Christ awoke in heaven. But imagine those that died in sin awoke in further torment. Some feel the kindest thing that can happen to someone hopelessly burned is for them to just die, for the pain is so dreadful, unceasing, there is no relief. Preacher, we've heard the best. Don't try to scare us. Let us live the way we choose. Well, I'm not trying to scare anybody, for we live in a shockless society. We're too blasé, too sophisticated to be scared or moved by anything anymore. No, what I'm trying to do tonight is to be honest with you. I'm trying to give you the whole story from God's book. For some of you, tonight may determine your eternal destiny. You say, but I've read the book, and this business of hell seems so unreal to me. Well, that which we have never experienced always seems unreal to us. How many families have I ministered to who had just lost a loved one, and what did they say to me? It seems so unreal. I can't believe it. I can't believe this is happening to me. But I'll tell you tonight, death is real. Just because it seems unreal to you doesn't mean that it is. The rich man in our text kind of thought Lazarus was unreal. He's not real, he's part of another world. And the rich man couldn't have cared less about him, for the word says he fared sumptuously every day. He had beautiful clothes, a beautiful home. Isn't that all that's really important anyhow? Jean Davis thought so. Yes, she said, that's what's important. That's what I want, and I'm going to have it. And she got it. She was on the campus of a Nazarene college, raised in a Nazarene home. All of the advantages of the truth of God. But Jean Davis said, I'm not going to have any part of this business. I want to have fun. I want to live. And so she set out to live the kind of life she was just sure would make her happy. She married a man. He was not a Christian, but he was a very fine man. He was an executive for a great airline, and they lived all over the world in the most beautiful home. She wore designer original dresses. And they had wonderful children. But in the course of it all, she discovered that she wasn't as happy as she thought she was going to be. And she looked for some new means of satisfaction and found it in a bottle. Drank and drank, and beautiful Jean Davis, not too many years later, lost her husband, for he took the children and left her, lost her wealth, became a hopeless alcoholic. One report that we had from this girl with whom I'd grown up, the little guy back there, was that she was chained to a hospital bed in the county hospital in Los Angeles, California. She was so far gone. Drink had so diseased her that she was unsafe to be left to her own devices. But she got away long enough, anyhow, to take her own life. You see, sin is a killer. Let me tell you something else. Though hell may seem unreal to you tonight, the Bible says it's very, very real. You say, I don't care. Okay. But someday, you will. You have a choice. It's simple. You have a choice of coming doom or coming glory. The rich man said, I will worry about eternity tomorrow. But tomorrow never came. When he awakened from death, he found himself in hell with no way back, no way out. Eternal torment, his constant companion, all the consequence of sin. Oh, he said, I have to tell and warn my brother. If it were in this day, I'm sure he'd have bought time on radio, television, the newspapers, and stand on street corners proclaiming the fact that hell is real. Eternal torment is real. Repent while you can. He begged Abraham to send Lazarus back. He said, oh, they'll believe someone raised from the dead. If you'll just send him back, they'll believe him. But Abraham replied in some of the saddest words in all of God's book, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rose from the dead. It was, of course, prophetic of Christ's death and resurrection. Many then didn't believe it. Many now still don't believe it. But believe it or not, it's true. Yes, rich man, hell is real. Now he could see all things clearly in the light of eternity, and so will you. Unclouded vision, a crystal clear memory, it will all be there. Abraham, how long will this last? The answer comes rolling down the endless corridors of eternity. Forever. Oh, Abraham, surely not. I said, how long will it last? It's forever. Eternity is forever. And there you'll be with the memory of your secret sin and your secret hate and your secret hypocrisy and your pride and self-love. There you'll be with arms outstretched toward heaven, begging for help, begging like this rich man for just a touch of cool water, but no help will come, for there will be that uncrossable chasm between heaven and hell, and it's eternal too. I imagine this rich man was respected in the temple. Probably the kind of man who never did anybody any harm, nor did he probably do anybody any good. Apparently non-doers end up in hell just like wrongdoers. Think it over. Say, isn't he supposed to be a God of love? Yes. And also a God of justice. We speak of his love often, for it is a joy and a thrill to be able to talk about the matchless love of God that goes beyond human understanding. We can reach out and touch with the blood shed on that cross 2,000 years ago the sinful heart of man and cleanse him from his sins. Yes. He's a God of love. But there is a universal system of justice in our universe. And remember this tonight and never forget it. God sends no one to hell. It's your choice. You send yourself. Our God of justice hates sin. It must be dealt with. And the history of God is a history of him dealing with sin. It was because of sin that Adam and Eve were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. God dealt with sin. It was because of sin that that flood came in the time of Noah. In an attempt to cleanse the earth with a great flood from the evil of sin. It was because of sin that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. All because of sin. But since Jesus has come, we live in a state of grace where we have the potential for salvation through his sacrificial death. But someday even this opportunity will end, and it may end for you tonight. I don't know your schedule. But listen, God loves you, and he opens his arms of love to you tonight and says, I don't want you to go to hell. I died so you don't have to go to hell. No matter what you have done, I want to forgive you. Even to the thief on the cross, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And there is your promise of hope from the God of love. He said, understand, I will take your sins and separate them as far as the east is from the west. As far as the north is from the south. I'll take your sins and you'll be done with them forever. Have you responded to that appeal from a God of love? Preacher, is there really going to be fire? I believe there is. Of course, other concepts have been suggested. Like whatever you fear most. And perhaps tonight, we could think of lots of things worse than fire. But the important thing is, there is nothing worse than hell. Of course, we also know that the mind is the cruelest torturer of all. That one who waits in the death house for the final termination of his life. It isn't the moment of death that's so painful. It's the torture of the mind waiting, waiting, waiting. But the Bible again and again refers to fire, perhaps because of its universal terror. One thing you must understand is this. Jesus spoke of hell more than anyone else. But whatever it is eternal, and it is torment. There is a chasm between heaven and hell. It is uncrossable. There has always been a chasm between sin and righteousness. But right now, tonight, there is a bridge across eternity. Right now, tonight, there is a way of escape. And Jesus is that bridge. And he calls every sinner to come over to the victory side. There will be no second chance in eternity. But tonight, he's giving you another chance. Why don't you come across? It may cost you something. But the rich man would gladly have spent all he had to avoid hell. Consider the cost in the light of eternity and pay the price tonight. Abraham, please, just a drop of water? No. I'm sorry. But you see, there is something between heaven and hell. There's a great gulf, and it is fixed. But listen, friend, there is a bridge across that gulf tonight. His name is Jesus. Will you bridge eternity's chasm with Christ tonight? This is reality. Jesus told the story. And the question is, where will you be spending your eternity? You'll have to answer the question someday. Why don't you answer it tonight? Jesus has said, whosoever will may come, and that whosoever includes you. Will you turn with me in your hymnals to hymn number 232? Let's stand together. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing. Father, we do not believe you told us this story to frighten us. We believe you told this story so that it would be forever immortalized in your book, that we might know that there is a penalty to be paid for unconfessed sin, that there is an eternal price to be paid for going one's own way in life, and also because you wanted to so graphically portray the difference between those who live without Christ and those who live with Christ. And we would ask that tonight you would move across this wonderful group of people, and may they honestly face the issue. And if they do not know where they'll spend eternity, may they step into that nearest aisle, come down and kneel at this altar, not to join the church, but to give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Give them that kind of courage, and we'll be sure to give thee all praise. Let's sing this first verse of hymn number 232. And if you have a need tonight, my friend, why don't you come and let Jesus supply your need? Come now as we sing.